Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
When we look at the St. Louis region, I know a lot of effort has been made over the last decade, at least, if not before, to try to build the programs that we have here for ice hockey. What are we seeing and where do we stack up compared to some other regions of the country?
Yeah, great question,
Richie. Yeah, I mean, I can give a little perspective too, just and the way we're set up as player development managers, we're spread out across the country. So my role is the New York Atlantic District, which is New Jersey and Eastern Pennsylvania. And sometimes we'll kind of cross over and help each other out. So I'm in Dan's region here, so he can probably speak better to to what's going on in St. Louis. But I would say at the 8U level, from when I was growing up, you would see one team on the ice just. It was more structured around the game, where now we're kind of really pushing in how do we engage the players, how do we create a fun environment, and how do we create an environment where the retention is going to be better, where kids want to come back and play the game and really develop a passion for the game, where I think before it was more about focus on winning at the youngest levels, but that's really changed from what I see. So when I look into rinks, the practices look a lot different than from when I was growing up.
Yeah, and more specifically on the St. Louis area, I mean, you look at the growth, obviously, with having an NHL team in your market right there, and having the former NHLers come back and helping and growing the game, and obviously the Blues do a lot in this area. We were at a club earlier this week in Kirkwood, and just to see their numbers coming out of COVID was incredible. They're at 800 plus, and they're really focused on, you know, given what's good to those kids at that age group. And we know that fun is such a priority at the youngest ages, throughout all the ages, but most importantly at those youngest ages, and really balancing that with, what are the techniques and the coaching priorities at those ages to deliver that experience for all those kids. We know they're essentially all abilities that play this game. It doesn't matter if you're A, B, or C. It's you're playing the game of hockey, and especially looking at that to deliver for those kids every time they go to the rink. We want to build that passion, as Richie was talking about, and really fully enjoy that game so they're not just wanting to come back, you know, next week, next month, but hopefully next year, and really enjoy this game as it goes through.
Let's talk about the kids that reach the ages of 12, 13, 14, when in all sports we tend to see a drop-off because those are the ages that kids are starting to get into maybe some other more social activities when they're in high school. Maybe the sports get more expensive because it gets more intensive. How do we make sure that we keep channeling kids into hockey and also that we keep creating that pipeline for, you know, future high-level players for those older players?
I mean, for me, I think, and you're right, I think when you get to that level at 12, 13, and I would agree with you, like the schedule becomes a little bit more robust, where you're required, you're going from maybe two practices to three to four. Now you're looking to some off ice. It is a little bit, a little pricier, as we know, in hockey. But I think it's important for you so I could have another avenue, right? For me, it's like, do you want to become a hockey player or do you want to play hockey? And both avenues are great. And I do notice it's kind of sad that the house rec kind of has a negative connotation. I think people can see that and say, oh, I don't want to play house. I want to play travel. But house is a great thing. And it's for that athlete that really loves hockey, but it's just not, maybe they just don't want to put that much time into it. Or maybe they play another sport. So I think it's really important for USA Hockey to focus on both avenues, because at the end of the day, a small percentage of kids will go on and make hockey an occupation. And I think our goal at USA Hockey is that we make that experience so special to them. So when they become adults, they're either playing hockey or they're giving back in some way, whether they're referees, they're coaches, they're administrators, because that's what you, without the volunteers, USA Hockey doesn't exist. I mean, we're a volunteer-based organization with a small staff, and we need our volunteers to create that experience. And that's kind of the cycle that we look towards. But to go towards that higher level, we do have a program out in Plymouth, our National Team Development Program, that a lot of kids will focus to go to, but that's only 40 kids. And what's changed really in hockey is that we have a wide base of players, and there's a lot of players that make the NHL that did not make it to that National Team Development Program. But through hard work, good coaching, coaches that inspire kids to stay with it, because everybody develops at a different level, and some kids just pop, sort of say, later in life. Maybe they didn't make that team, but you know what? They stuck with it because they had a support staff that allowed them to kind of grow and get better at a later age. And you know, that's what we're trying to do at the higher level, elite, you know, quote unquote elite players.
Yeah, and I'm a parent as well. And when we look at this youth sports landscape, we know it's complex. So we're, you know, from USA Hockey's perspective, we're trying to simplify that and understand that, you know, as Richie mentioned, not only is every player an experiment of one, but early success does not predict future success. And keeping that in line of those players, we want to make sure that programming, once again, hey, they happen to fall as an A player this year or a B player next year, that the actual programming is good for those players, so they're getting that. It's not like winning the lottery. Hey, I got Coach Jenny over here. I got, you know, it's something that is really important for us to focus in on, that coach development, which we know is then turns into player development, that we can focus in on those priorities. And then once again, make sure that experience is, you know, worth, you know, not only coming back to the rink, but, you know, gets those kids to build in that they have choices and they can do that. And we obviously fully promote other sports, and we want to see that. And we try to work with other sports organizations so those kids can be, you know, well-rounded. So it's not 12 months of hockey when you're 12 years old. It's something that as you get older, then you can start to specialize a little bit. We know our sport is more of a late-blooming sport, and we see a lot of success at those later years. But the big thing is we want to make sure that experience is there for every kid when they come to the rink.
One of the things that I have noticed for a lot of families is the burnout factor. Because of the amount of time, the pressure, it seems like youth sports have so much intensity nowadays. How do we help our kids mentally in sports? You know, what do we need to do to help them with that piece of being a healthy competitor?
Yeah,
I think naturally kids are competitive. I mean, they just want to beat their friends. I think you get them in an environment where they're. I would compare it to the pond hockey experience, right? Like, kids can skate for 12 hours a day as long as it's this unstructured. I think if we can help create that environment, because I think naturally kids are competitive. I just think at a young age we're just hammering with coaches. We got to do this, and I just think that's the burnout factor, right? Like, every kid's different, and I think it's a parent's, I don't want to say obligation, but they know their kid. And I have a 7-year-old boy that plays hockey, and I'm very cognizant of how much hockey he's getting. And I want him to say, hey, Dad, let's go skater. I remember picking him up from school, and I would have his bag ready in the car. And I would tell him in the morning, I'd be like, hey, if you want to go to, you know, free skate, we can go. But I always want it. And I'm like crossing my fingers that please ask me to go, because I didn't want him to go because he thinks I want him to go. I wanted him to want to go. And there would be days he just didn't. I'd be like, all right, we just go home and do something else. But I do think, because I think the struggle is too, is that the parents that get their kids in hockey and kind, I don't want to say force them to go, but say, hey, we're going to practice. The struggle is those kids will get better, right? You're on the ice, you're going to get better at hockey, but there's going to come a time where, you know, if you don't have that intrinsic motivation, you're just not going to be successful. Like, your talent and athleticism will take you so far, but if it's not you driving it, you're just going to eventually either burn out or hit a level where it just doesn't, you just don't pan out. So we really focus on that intrinsic motivation, that passion. And I just really, you know, for parents, just be supportive, be there, but don't, you got to be careful when you're pushing, especially at the younger ages.
Yeah. And a simple reminder, like, it's, you know, Richie's child's journey is different than my children. And we're in such a compare and contrast environment that I think it's important to look at. It's that child's journey, and how can we support that the best way we can? It is looking at that, and that's where it comes in as parents, looking at what is the programming within those organizations, right? Are they given the disguising the techniques, especially at those younger ages, in fun chase games, as Richie mentioned, and we look at it, it is competitive by nature when you play tag. No kid wants to be essentially it, so how can we bring that into the ice and have fun with that stuff so then they can feel that? And then also looking at it, you know, coming out of COVID, we learned a lot. I mean, how special just playing games are for our kids to play the sport of hockey, where that was taken away, that how do we actually, you know, support that and actually, you know, as a parent saying, hey, not only I love watching you play, how else can I help you, instead of more telling them on the car ride home? I think that's something as a journey, and that, you know, let them talk to you. And the great thing is working with kids. I mean, they'll give you the true feeling of, you know, what's going on. And that's why we stress with our coaches. I mean, it's not only how much you know about the sport, it's more important how much you care for those kids and actually connect with them. There's a big connection that builds in the confidence for our players. And I think that's something in any sport that hopefully those are life lessons that pass along. And because that's something we want to see, where, you know, hopefully we, as many as possible and as long as possible, play in our sport by doing those right things so they don't get into that, you know, the burnout where it's too much too soon. And then they're, you know, maybe bitter at the game, or, you know, and it's something that we need to look at. We're building in those fundamental movement skills for those kids so they actually, whatever system or concept you want to put into them older, they actually have those, the capacity to move and be competent in those movements, so then those older coaches can actually put them in the more structured, you know, concepts and maybe even some systems at some stage.
I always think that we should have the parent-kid games at the beginning of the season, because it's always such a humbling experience for all of us adults to see what it really takes for our kids to go out there and do it.
And with that being said, anybody that go to a local public skate and just watch what goes on at a public skate, it is not easy just to skate, right? When you look at that, as any rink manager, anybody running a public skate, typically you're on call to some type of first aid because people fall and, you know, get hurt and things like that. And when you take your kids and you go watch that, and it's like, wow, your kids have a skill that they can skate and enjoy for a lifetime, where the average person can't do that.
I will say this. When I started this job, I had no kids in the game, so I would show up to rinks and be like, oh, you know, there's always this like parents are crazy type thing in youth sports. And as soon as you have a kid involved, you can kind of feel yourself getting a little swirly. Like I kind of see that side of it a little bit. And it gave me new perspective for parents. I understand the pressure because sports are not, they're just becoming more expensive. We found as adults, like we've created sports like soccer that, and baseball and football and sports that should be inexpensive. We found ways to make them more expensive. And there's pressure where people are like, I didn't play really soccer growing up, but my son's in soccer, like, oh, you got to get him in travel, or you got to do this. And you can feel those pressures. And I get it from a parent's that the fear of leaving, that your kid getting left behind is real. That's mm-hmm. a real thing. And I have a different perspective now that I have a kid. Because you're just I constantly watch my kid, and you're just like, even at the playground, I'm like evaluating him. Like, look at that kid go through the monkey bars. Like, what am I doing as a parent that my kid can't do that?
Yeah.
You know, I see myself, I'm like, what am I nuts? But I totally get it.
After a lot of years in this, we've learned to ask our kids, there's a camp coming up, do you want to do it? And when they tell us no, we just have to zip our lips and say, okay, thank you.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, because at first, you know, I think a lot of people, it's every camp.
Yeah.
It's every opportunity that you think, oh my gosh, I don't want them to, you know, fear of missing out.
Yeah. And that's why it's so crucial within the associations, right? That people that have gone through and understand, like, hey, you know, they've gone through the essentially 8U, 10U, 12U, and now their kids might be at, you know, 16 or 18 playing high school and enjoying it. Coming back and actually sharing those experiences with those first-year 8U players and the parents to understand, like, well, okay, you don't have to do 7 or 8 tournaments here, right? And go across. There's a lot of good competition, a lot of good hockey in St. Louis. Well, let's stay at our rink and actually play. We shouldn't have to travel past 5 rinks to go play hockey at those younger ages.
So last question for you both. Looking ahead the next 5 to 10 years, what do you see in the way of growth of youth hockey and some of the initiatives that might be coming down the pipeline?
It's a good question. I see our sport getting better. I mean, if you just, I mean, we're constantly looking at data and it's getting sent around emails and all that stuff. But if you just look at the NHL, right, empirical data, like there's more Americans playing the game now than there ever was. It used to be a Canadian dominated sport. And there's a ton of reasons probably why that, from a high level, our national team development program, to the support from the NHL, to NHL being in other markets. I mean, I remember as a kid growing up, it was Massachusetts, Michigan, and like we would never see kids from California, Florida, and these kids are popping up everywhere, right? As the NHL markets jump out into places like Atlanta, non-traditional hockey markets, you have more kids at the grassroots level. We're going to have better players. So I see our sport getting better as the NHL, you know, talks to expand. Vegas is a perfect example. They had like 70 kids registered, and they grew like 800%, some like ridiculous number. So you'll start to see eventually kids coming out of the Las Vegas region. I mean, we've had some in the past, but the numbers are going to be greater. So, I mean, the sky's the limit, obviously. And where I really see growth, honestly, is on the women's side. You see, you know, obviously they have their professional league and they're trying to figure that out. But our women's national team does a fantastic job getting out there, and you're going to see major, major growth, I think, because it's kind of still an untapped market, I think. Women's hockey. So you're going to see some major growth. And I know, Megan, I know you're in the mix right there helping out. And I love to
see those top ladies play. Yeah. They are so much fun to watch.
Oh, man. They're super competitive. If you ever have a chance, watch our women's team play.
Yeah, the rivalry series is incredible. And we use that on so much of the video footage from those games and their trainings, you know, with our youth players, because, you know, just the way they're playing the game. I mean, there's so much contact within our game that the way the women's games played, where the use of you know, body position and actually angling, skating, the awareness on the ice, all those things that are crucial in our game, there's just so many examples that all our youth players can play. So when we look at growth, I mean, it's, you know, we're sitting over 100,000 AU players again on the national level again, and we want to continue to push that envelope, more kids playing our game and fully enjoying this. And I think that's the important piece, because you go watch an average youth game now. We talk about the NHL getting better. The average youth game is incredible what these kids are doing, right? And most importantly, having fun. And we're getting people from all over the country. I grew up in Minnesota, and it's so cool to see where there's hockey, not only for everyone, but everywhere right now, which is so neat. And hopefully we can continue to share the game with a lot of people.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.